Amen. Praise the Lord for the spirit already that we feel here tonight. And good to be with y'all tonight. And I will say this. I would say I won't be long with you, but I feel like there's a good spirit here tonight. And I ain't going to promise you that we won't be here long, because the fact of the matter is, and I know a lot of you has worked all day, and a lot of you's been here, and I've been here since 6 o'clock this morning. So I'm not saying that boastfully, but I'm just saying I'm not ready to go home yet. Amen. And so I hope y'all are not. I've enjoyed the spirit here tonight, and it's just amazing how the Lord's worked this out. And before I get started, though, thank y'all for having us, and thank y'all for just all that you've done for us already, and just the fellowship. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the Spirit of God, it's just better when you fellowship. You know, whenever there's fellowship and unity in the church, and we've been together now for the last 2 or 3 days, and there's a lot of fellowship, and I believe it makes the services sweeter. Amen. And I appreciate the songs that was sung tonight and the songs that was picked. And I was thinking about blessed assurance, and then he said that. So that was a blessing. But if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, where we'll begin. And we'll read this scripture, our text, and then I'll let you be seated. But we've got a lot of scripture I'll be turning to. And I will say this. Normally, typically, I kind of like to preach a little bit more expository and just take a chapter and just kind of stay in my text, or maybe take two chapters and compare the two. But tonight I'm going to be all over the Bible. So we got to keep our Bibles open, and we're going to take a trip through the Bible and just kind of be a little bit topical tonight. But so the first text we'll be at tonight is Ephesians chapter 5, a very familiar scripture. And I even touched on it a little bit yesterday in the 1 o'clock service. But the Bible says in verse number 17, it says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And I trust every one of us wants to be in the will of God. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible gets ready to tell us here what the will of the Lord is in verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So there's a comparison there with those which are drunk with wine and those that are filled with the Spirit. He said, "Be ye not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." And in verse 19, it says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always unto God for all things, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. So my text verse here is verse 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the good, sweet spirit that we feel here tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity it is to stand and preach. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross, and Lord, that you would preach through me tonight. Lord, I can't do one thing in myself, Lord. In my flesh, there is no good thing. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak through me tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would take charge and take over the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. And I know a very familiar scripture right there. But as we're comparing the drunk with wine and the filled with the Spirit, the Bible says, just as it is wrong for you to be drunk with wine, it is also wrong, just as wrong for you to be filled with, for you not to be filled with the Spirit. I mean, that's the commandment, is but be filled with the Spirit. So those, and most everybody that's adults have probably seen somebody that's intoxicated with some wine. Amen. And so, and you know that they are controlled by that substance that is in their body. Amen. And so if you're filled with the Spirit, you are controlled by the Spirit of God. Amen. One of the things that will happen if you're controlled by the Spirit of God, if you are filled with the Spirit, is you'll have a song in your heart. Amen. I believe every Christian should have a song in their heart. Amen. I didn't say everybody had a voice to sing, but everybody has a song in your heart. Amen. And I believe we should sing it. I mean, everybody should. I mean, you might be riding down the road, Brother Jake. I don't know why you're laughing and smiling so big over there, but I enjoyed you singing, brother. That was good. But I'm saying you might be driving down in a truck singing, to yourself. That's what the Bible says, speaking to yourself. Say, man, it's all right to talk to yourself. The Bible says this is proof that it's okay to talk to yourself. Amen. As long as you're speaking to yourselves in hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. And so that's what I like. Amen. I know y'all, I don't have to preach against the contemporary music. I know y'all got the radio station. I know all that. But the Bible says to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. Those hymns are those that magnify the Lord. And I think about, like, how great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, amen, consider all the works thy hands have done. Amen. I mean, it's just amazing. That's one of my favorite hymns. And then I was looking through your song book, and number one, I believe it is one of my favorites as well. Number one, it says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Amen. And so I like songs that brag on him. Amen. Songs that lift up him and magnify him. But the Bible says Psalms. So let's turn over to Psalms and let's see what the Psalms has much to say about singing. And this is introduction. I'll get to the message here in just a minute. But in Psalms chapter 92, and hang with me here. We're going to be flipping in Psalms quite a bit. But turn to Psalms chapter 92. And verse 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. So, first of all, we're singing unto the Lord.
Right.
Give thanks unto the Lord and then sing unto thy name. Sing praises to thy name. And in verse 2, it says to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Amen. I'm glad the Lord's mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
His faithfulness fails not. His compassions
Amen.
Are great towards us. Amen. And then turn to Psalm 95 and verse number 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. There it is again. And make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Amen. So we're singing unto him. That's the thing. Singing unto the Lord. And come before his presence with singing. And when we come to church, we should have a song on our heart. Amen. The pastor shouldn't have to stand up and pry and prod to get somebody to give a word of testimony. Amen. Or a song to sing. Amen. We should have a song ready and ready to go. Amen. And it doesn't mean that you have to sing every service, but you should be ready. Amen. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with it. Amen. Most of the time, I mean, I understand sometimes there's jealousy among singers, but if we're singing to the Lord, singing for the right reason, there should be no jealousy. It'd be good if everybody just came with a song in their heart. Amen. And I understand preaching is important, but I believe that prepares, sets the tone for preaching. Amen. But chapter 96 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Amen. So new songs are not bad. The Bible says sing a new song. Amen. We should sing new songs as long as they're unto the Lord. And as long as they're singing and showing forth his salvation. Amen. 98, chapter 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. And then Psalms 100, you probably all know it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Amen. I love that. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Amen. And so then turn with me to Psalm 104. We're almost finished with the Psalms right here for a minute. But the Bible said, singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So in Psalm 104, verse 33, it says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Amen. So the psalmist is just saying, I don't ever plan to quit singing. I just plan on worshiping the Lord as long as I live. Amen. As long as I have my being. Amen. And then Psalm 150, verse 6, and you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. And Brother Sammy Allen would always say, take a deep breath in. Amen. Take a deep breath in and breathe back out. Amen. If you can do that, you should be praising the Lord. Amen. Now, I know there's trials and there's storms that come through, and there's things that come and try to steal our song. And my pastor says this, the devil knows he cannot take your salvation. Amen. The devil, he cannot take your salvation. I believe in eternal security. Amen. I believe that once you're a child of God, once you're saved, that you're one of his. Amen. And he's not going to kick you out. Amen. The Bible says that in John 10, he said, we're in the palm of his hand. Amen. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. But we believe in eternal security. But the fact of the matter is, the devil cannot take your salvation. But the devil can take your joy. Amen. And the devil can take your song. The devil can get you discouraged and defeated. And if you live a defeated life, you'll never have an impact on the people around you. Amen. And so the devil will get you upset and mad at your fellow brother in Christ or your sister in Christ. And the devil would love nothing more than to make this side of the church not want to sit beside this side of the church or speak to this side of the church. And the devil would like to drive a wedge of division among these right here and these over here. And the Lord would like to steal your joy and to steal your unity and steal your fellowship with one with another. Amen. And if the Lord, if the devil can do that, then he knows he's got you defeated. Amen. So my title of this, I believe every Christian should have a song. And that's my title is I Have a Song. Amen. I have a song to sing. Amen. And I believe we should. And I almost just got up here and sang a song with the congregation before we got started. But let me just say this. We're going to go through the Bible. And I've got four characters in the Bible, four Bible characters that we're going to look at. And I believe it'll be a blessing. And me and Brother Jake and Josh and my dad, and maybe Brother Matt and Brother Duncan was already talking about some of these earlier today. So y'all might get a little bit of a rehash. But turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Amen. Mark chapter 10. Amen. Now here's what we're going to do, and you gotta give me a little bit of help here whenever I get started, and then also you gotta give me a little bit of your imagination because there's some things that I believe the Bible don't tell us the whole story, and I think it's okay sometimes to speculate a little bit as long as you don't change the Bible. Amen. And so. So some supposition is okay as long as you're not taking it out of context. Amen. But the Bible says in Mark 10, we come across a man who was blind. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, the Bible says in verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. Now, notice that phrase. There was a great number of people. This man was blind, and he sat beside the highway begging. Amen. And as he heard, and the Bible said, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, this man was blind, and I've never been blind before, but I know that blind folks, they listen and they hear a lot, amen, because they don't have the eyesight to rely on, so they're relying on their ears to be their eyes, amen. And so he was sitting there by the wayside, and the Bible said that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, we already saw that there was a crowd of people, but now we see here that there must have been some chatter among the people. Because there was those that was talking, Brother Jake. They was telling him, I mean, how did he know Jesus was coming by? He was blind. He didn't know that Jesus was coming by. So somebody that already knew Jesus, that had already met Jesus, had to tell him, amen, that Jesus was coming by, amen. And we need to be the witness. We need to tell people that Jesus is coming, amen. And so there's, first of all, I see the chatter to get him to Jesus. And in verse number 48, and many charged him, notice that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more, a great deal, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. So not only was there the crowd of people that was chattering to get him to Jesus, but there was another crowd of people that was trying to complicate his way to Jesus. Yeah. Amen. They were saying, they was charging him, you need to be quiet. You need to calm down. Amen. And he heard about this man Jesus. I don't know what he heard, but he probably heard that he had touched the dead and made them rise. Amen. He probably heard that he could touch the deaf ears and make them hear. And he'd heard that he could touch the blinded eyes and make them see. But yet he was there and he said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And they said, no, you need to be quiet now. You need to calm down. You're getting too religious. You're getting too excited. Amen. There'll be those crowd that will try their best to put a damp, wet blanket on your Christian fire. Amen. And so don't let that discourage you. But there is the chatter to get people to Jesus. Then there's that other crowd that's complicating the way to Jesus. And I mentioned this earlier on the radio that there's two sets of people in the world and in churches sometimes. You can either compliment the work of God or you can complicate the work of God. Yeah. Amen. And you as a church member, you have the opportunity and the ability to complement your church and your ministry. I mean, you can be a compliment to the radio station. You can be a compliment to your Sunday morning Sunday school class or whatever. But you can also complicate it. Amen. You can also throw a wrench in it and try to hold people back. Amen. If you're not careful. Amen. So we see the crowd of people that was getting him to Jesus. Then there was a crowd that complicated his way. And then verse number 49. Well, let me go back in verse 48. They charged him. They said, no, you need to calm down. But he cried out the more. I mean, he got louder and louder. He said, I'm here to get what I need. Amen. I mean, when you go to church, it doesn't matter about the people sitting beside of you. If they're not getting anything out of it. Amen. But you come to get what you need. Amen. And you got to say, well, I come here for a purpose. I come for a reason. Amen. And so cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then in verse number 49, notice this, Jesus stood still. Amen. It caught Jesus' attention. And when he stood still, he commanded and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. Notice the last phrase, he calleth thee. Amen. I just got that this morning. I was studying a little bit and the Lord showed me that he calleth for thee. At first, Jesus told him to call for him, and now it said Jesus was calling for him. So first, the blind man was saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, Jesus stood still, and he called and he said, son, come here. Amen. And so he called for him, and he got his attention. Amen. Whatever it took to get to Jesus, he was going to get his attention. So blind Bartimaeus there, he was sitting there and Jesus called for him. There, verse number 50. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now he's, you know, I'd say a blind man doesn't have a lot that he's carrying around with him. But he cast his garment off of him. Amen. He didn't want anything to hinder him from getting to Jesus. Amen. And it was almost as if he was casting away that old life. Amen. And so he was casting it away and he went to Jesus. And he said, Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. So I could imagine as they're walking and you know, he's been sitting there by the road and some people didn't want him to get to Jesus. Some people did. And here Jesus came and stood right in front of him. Amen. He said, come to me. So the blind man had to get up from where he was at. Amen. And come to Jesus. And whatever your problem is, you have to admit that you have that problem, the sin problem, amen? And you have to come to Jesus. He's not going to come to you on your terms. You got to come to him on his terms, amen? But he spoke to him and he said, what wilt thou that I have you to do? And he said, Lord, if I may receive my sight. And then he followed Jesus down the road. Now, I could imagine that he had a song. Amen? From that point. Amen? I think he had a song, and this was the first time he'd ever saw. The first thing he'd ever saw was the face of Jesus. Amen? The first thing his eyes had ever beheld was the face of Jesus. Amen? And I could just imagine that he was probably thinking, my goodness, all these things I've been missing out on seeing. Amen? But I could imagine he would say, when I look around and see the good things he's done for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. But his blessings he freely gives. I owe my life to him. So he was just going to keep following because of what Jesus did for him. Amen. And so he was just going to follow Jesus wherever he went. Amen. And he had made a difference in his life. Amen. So he could see now. Amen. No doubt he was seeing things that he didn't think about thanking God for before because he'd never seen it. Amen. But then turn with me to Luke chapter 16. I know very familiar scripture. Amen. Luke chapter 16, and I'm hurrying through, but I've got three more men that we're going to see that I believe might have a song to sing. Amen. Amen. Verse number 19, we all know the story, but Luke 16 is the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And most of the time we hear preaching on this matter, we hear preaching on hell, and we hear preaching on the rich man. Amen. But let's look at Lazarus today for a few minutes. In verse 19, it says, "And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Amen? And we see the distinction, the difference of two totally different lives lived there between the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was laying at the rich man's table on the floor, and I'd always thought about it, him eating the crumbs that fell down from the rich man's table. But the Bible don't say that he did eat the crumbs. It just said he desired to. Right. Amen. So he wishes that he could have got crumbs. Right. I don't think that rich man really gave him much of anything. He didn't give him much of a thought on earth. He didn't. All he was a beggar that was always asking for more and always asking for stuff. And this rich man didn't have time for him because, you know, he had everything he wanted. He had the nice clothes. He had the nice food to eat. He had everything. Amen. But he had all the luxuries. He lived in a nice house. But this man must have been his slave, Lazarus, I believe, because he was living in that house with him. But he was a beggar. And so we see there that Lazarus was begging for crumbs. But the rich man didn't notice Lazarus much until it was too late. He was in hell. And he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he asked him for two things. He asked him for water, and then later he'll ask him to go and to witness to his family. He asked for mercy, and he asked for missionaries to be sent to his family. Amen. He said, dip your tip of your finger in water and cool my tongue. Now, I would imagine that the rich man, while he was on earth, probably if the poor man would have tried to offer him anything, he would have not even wanted to touch his hand. Amen. He would not have even wanted to have that contact because he looked so down upon that man. But now he's willing to take the tip of his finger and dip it in water. And I believe he'd be willing to lick his finger or just to get it from his finger right there. Amen. And so you see the change of heart. And my point is this. I mean, on this earth, I mean, the things that everybody holds in high regard and high esteem now, They don't mean a thing. Amen. In the next world. Amen. In eternity, it does not matter. Amen.
Yep.
But the poor man became the rich man. Lazarus became the rich man, and the rich man became a beggar.
That's right.
And we don't even know the name of the rich man. Amen.
Right.
But I'm not here to talk about the rich man. I'm here to talk about Lazarus for a few minutes.
Amen.
Lazarus, he used to have sores on his body.
Yep.
Now he's healed and he's with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And so he used to have to beg for everything. Amen. Now he's clothed in royal. Amen. And now he is now in Abraham's bosom there. But notice this, when the rich man went to hell, he finally saw Lazarus. He begged Lazarus for mercy, just like Lazarus had probably begged him for food. But then the other thing is, when he started asking Lazarus to go to his house, he said in verse 29 or verse 28, he said, let's read verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, talking about Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. So he wanted Lazarus to go to his father's house. And I always find that interesting. And I heard a preacher, Brother Blankenship, preach a message about this. And I always remembered, he said that, why did he ask Lazarus to go to his father's house? Why didn't the rich man just say, tell my daddy to tell my brothers to get saved? Why didn't he just say, tell my daddy to tell my brothers about Jesus? Because the rich man probably thought to himself, well, my daddy never told me about Jesus. And my daddy always taught me how to make money, and he taught me how to be wealthy, and how to have the finest of finds. And he never went to church. He never went to Sunday school. He put everything in the world before God. Amen. The money, the almighty dollar, was his God. Amen. And so he said, well, I've got five younger brothers, and I don't want them to come to this awful place. I believe he asked for Lazarus simply because Lazarus had probably invited him several times to the Lord. Amen. He probably had witnessed so many times to him, and he said, I don't want to hear anything that you have to say. Because what could a beggar tell the rich man? But I can imagine as he's laying there on the ground, and he's thinking, you know, I don't have a lot down here. And he's thinking to himself, Lazarus thinking, well, I don't really have much, you know, in the bank account. I don't really have anything, you know, really to brag about. And this rich man seems like he's got everything.
Yep.
But, you know, I could hear him singing. He'd say, every hope that I have here in this old sinful world is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. Though the billows are raging and they're tossed to and fro, there is peace beneath that flow. And then he might sing that second verse. Only one thing will matter when my time shall come to die. The treasures of this world won't mean a thing, but the joy of knowing Jesus will vanish all my fears, for he took away destiny. Amen. He's saying, my hope is in the blood. My hope is not in these things down earth. Amen. And I understand. I know those songs wasn't written back in those days, but who knows? Lazarus might have been the one that wrote it. Amen. He probably wrote the second verse because he said, I'm not worried. Only one thing is going to matter. Amen. There's only one thing is going to matter. When that time, when you stand before God, there's only one thing that matters. Amen. And that is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Amen. So you don't get discouraged too bad because this is not our home. Amen. We're just passing through. Amen. And so he had a song. I believe Lazarus, no matter how bad he felt, no matter he was sick, the dogs was coming and licking his sores. He was hungry. He was starving to death, but he still had a song. Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we was talking about this earlier, the Gadarene demoniac, as many call him. Verse 26. is where we'll begin. Luke chapter 8 and verse 26 says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which was over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house." Notice that phrase. He neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Now jump down to verse number 34. Now, we know the story how Jesus cast out the devils, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And now notice verse 34. "When they that fed the pigs," he's talking about the pigs, "when they fed them, they saw what was done. They fled and went and told it into the city and the country. And then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind." Now they were afraid, and the Bible says, "And they were afraid." They were all afraid. Verse 36, "And they also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed." And notice this phrase, "Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes about besought him to depart." That's talking about Jesus. They said, "Jesus, we don't want you around here if you're going to cause such a ruckus." And they was more worried about the pigs that had went down into the sea than they was the life of this man. And verse number 38 says, "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And when it came to pass that when Jesus was returned," notice this, "the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." Amen. So they all wanted Jesus out of there. And then Jesus said to that man, when he said, he probably started singing, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And Jesus said, "Well, that's good, but I need you to go home and tell your friends and show your family how great things that God has done unto you." Amen. I need you to be a witness, because the whole town said, "We don't want you. We don't want Jesus." But notice that phrase in verse 40, "When Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." So Jesus went away, and I don't know how long he was gone, but it was long enough for the people to say, "This guy didn't just get a profession, he got the real thing." Amen. He really got changed, and his life changed. And those people that said, you know, he'll be back in the graveyard by next week, and they probably doubted what had happened. Right. But they watched and they saw the change in his life. Amen. Amen. And they said, "Well, now they're ready and gladly to receive Jesus." But could you imagine there when Jesus said, "No, you can't go with me. You can't follow me right now. I need you to go home." And notice the phrase, "Return to thine own house." Now, I would have thought that he didn't have a house because he was living in the tombs. But, and here we go, a little bit of speculation, but could you imagine that if he had a house and he was not living there for a while, but he was living in the tombs, maybe he had a family too. Man, maybe he had a family back there that had gotten tired of the way he was acting and had been beating the children and arguing with his wife all the time, and maybe she kicked him out of the house, and maybe he was down there in the field in the cemetery in the tombs cutting himself and not wearing any clothes. I mean, I wouldn't want a man like that living in my house, you know. And so she probably kicked him out, and I mean, I'm speculating, but all we know is that he did have a house, and he wasn't living there. Amen. So I'd imagine he probably had some children and probably had a wife. And so the Lord said, "Go back to thine own house and show thy family." So we know he had a family, and we don't know how many children or what, but he had a family. So he said, "Go back to thine own house, return." And could you imagine, as he's walking there, I believe they probably looked out the window and said, "Oh no, here he comes." And the kids ran and hid, you know, or like that song, "Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be." Amen. And you could imagine as they said, "Oh no, Daddy's coming back." And they was hiding, and the mama said, "He looks a little different. Something's changed about him." Amen. And I could see as he come back in the house, And they sit around the table. Amen. And he gathered all around and he told them what had happened. Amen. And he said, I met Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I could see as he's sitting there with his family all gathered around him. And he looked up and he said, there's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. He said, I don't have to live in the tombs anymore. Amen. I have a family. I have a house. And I, the Lord has blessed me with a place to stay. Amen. And he's blessed me better than that with an eternal home in heaven. Amen. 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 One last one, and we'll close out in Luke chapter 23. And this is the one I was wanting to get to. Amen. Because I enjoy preaching all of these Bible characters, but this one right here, we don't ever, as they were singing, and they was talking about Calvary, and Brother Jake there testified that Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look at Luke 23, and this is when Jesus was being crucified, verse number 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with them to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, I could imagine as those two thieves were hanging on either side of the Lord, and Jesus was hanging there, and I could almost picture in my head Brother Jake was talking about how he's kind of slumped down and he's getting weak. He's 100% God, 100% man. And he's laying there, he's given his life. They didn't take his life. He freely gave it. And as he's hanging there on the cross, he looks to the center on his right and he looks to the center on his left and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And could you imagine hanging on this cross and looking at the one dying there with your sin in his body and dying there for your sin, and you're being on the right side and looking over here and seeing the Lamb of God dying and taking your place. Amen. See, the beautiful thing is Christ took our place. He died, and we hear it so often that we don't really grasp what actually happened on the cross, because he who knew no sin became sin, that we who knew no righteousness could be made the righteousness of God through him. And the Son went black on Calvary, because as God the Father could not bear to look upon God the Son, and God the Father had to turn his back on his Son and forsake his own Son there. And I believe it's because he could not look upon his sin. Well, you and I, God, we are not worthy of God to look upon us. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? And he took our place. God the Father turned his back on his Son, so that now he can look at us who are unworthy because we have sinned, but he sees the blood of the cross, amen, of the Lamb of God, amen, that spotless, that sinless, perfect Lamb of God that shed his blood. And now he has took our sin and given us righteousness, amen. And so, but could you imagine the one on the left side, he watched this all take place. And Jesus Christ looked at him and said, Father, forgive him, for they know not what they do. And still, even after that, he mocked him and he spat upon him. And he said, save yourself. He wasn't worried about, and honestly, he said, and Brother Stennett Blue said, he asked for salvation, but he didn't ask for eternal salvation. He asked for him to get him off the cross. He said, save thyself and us. But he wasn't wanting spiritual salvation. He was wanting physical salvation. He was wanting down from the cross at that moment. He didn't want his sin to be covered. Amen. But he was asking for physical salvation. But the one on the right, He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. So the one on the right is the one I want to talk about for a few minutes as he saw him hanging there. And I believe Jesus, as I already said, he looked at both of those guys. But not only that, he looked at the soldiers that had just plucked his beard out and smite his face and that spat upon him and whipped him with a cat of nine tails and all that went on along in that. And he looked at them soldiers and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. And I believe across the ages of time, he could look across the time and he could see Matt Willis and he could see Steve Vincent and he could see Brother Troy and he could see all these that's sitting here today. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. And so he could see us and he forgave us. Amen. And like Joshua said last night or Wednesday night, it's not in the prayer that we prayed. It's the prayer that he prayed. Amen. I like that. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look at verse number 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Amen. Now, then look at verse 46. After the sun was darkened, verse 45, and the veil was rent. And then he said, Jesus said, when he cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So having said this, he gave up the ghost. They didn't take his life. He freely gave it. Amen. And he gave his life as a symbol that salvation is freely given. Amen. It's a free gift. But you and I would all say, as that thief said, we indeed justly deserve this. We it should have been our sin. It should have been us on that cross. Amen. But the thief on that cross, I can imagine as he was hanging there and he had just seen the sinless Lamb of God die for his sins. Amen. And he shed his blood to take away his sins. Amen. And I believe that because of that, that's the whole reason we have a song is because we have eternal life and we have the hope of heaven. Amen. But he said he could have looked over there and before he died, he might have said, And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Sing it with me. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. If we could stand, and Miss Elizabeth, if you could play the old rugged cross, if y'all could get that song together. Amen. And I believe it's 56. Amen. We'll have an invitation. And I won't turn the service over to my dad, but let me just say this. If you are here and you're lost tonight and you've never been saved, you've never realized that Jesus took your place. And Jesus already paid the penalty of your sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. It's a heart belief in your heart. He said, if thou believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Amen. And it doesn't matter. As I said, it doesn't matter if you've made a profession already. It doesn't matter. Amen. What matters is that you know deep down in your heart that you have the possession, not just the profession. Amen. Amen. As they sing the old rugged cross, you just do business with the Lord. Maybe you are saved and you've lost your soul. Amen. I believe we need to get our soul back. Amen.